Praise the Lord. Amen. You saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. Saved and happy about it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. It's flooding. Amen. Brother Collins leaned over to me. He said, "You see the water coming up here." Amen. Hallelujah. But it's all right. The rain's calming down and we're going to be able to have church. I got to thinking about a meeting I was in where a tent, the Holy Ghost got to moving. It drenched the place, and there was water running underneath the tent. The power of God fell, and there's people laying in the puddles, speaking in tongues. Amen. Holy Ghost gets real. In this house, it won't matter what conditions we're in. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord, going to magnify the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we give all the staff and all the workers and all the pastors a wonderful hand clap tonight? I was eating with Brother Snow last night, and he's talking, cutting up about the dorms. And I was in a youth camp. I had preached it 4 or 5 years in a row. Then our kids came to that camp, and so I stayed in the dorms. And got a great appreciation for counselors. Amen. So let's give our counselors a wonderful hand clap. Amen. For the work that they do. Now we evangelists, speakers, I know night speakers, we come in, we fly in, fly out, drive in, drive out. But the greatest people in your life is your youth leaders and your pastors and your counselors. They're the people that's going to take you to the next level. We'll only help launch you, give you the shove, the push. But the greatest, most important people in your life is your Sunday school teacher, your youth leader, amen, your pastor, amen. So you make sure you get connected to the youth department, amen, your pastor, amen, your Sunday school teacher, because they are the people that day in, day out is going to help get you to the next level. And we greatly appreciate them, don't we? Again, let's give them a hand clap tonight. Amen. Amen. Again, I want us to give Brother Collins and Sister Collins a wonderful hand clap in the mentorship. They are truly a man and woman of God. I love them. They were my heroes before I ever met them. When I was just a teenage boy living in a broken home, I'd spend the summer with my dad and didn't have a church there that was my home church. And so Brother Collins was my pastor during the summer. And he didn't know that. I was 14, 15 years old, 16 years old. And I'd go in to pray and I'd plug in the highway tapes. Amen. That's where I learned some of my first Pentecostal songs. I'll pray if I pray by myself. And he sung me through the summer and preached me through the summer. Amen. We appreciate them, don't we? Amen. And the ministry that they've had throughout the years. Amen. We're grateful for everything. We're so grateful for what God is doing in this meeting. What an honor to get to be here. Amen. Again, this year, we have been here several years, met my wife here. Amen. I said that Monday night. We're just grateful. Amen. We appreciate everything that everybody does for young people, for the church. We were just in youth camp last week with Brother Denny McKinney and them over. Amen. There at Brother John Rice's and theirs. And we had a great move of the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord just come by and helped us. Amen. And met some friends there. Amen. That are here tonight. We're grateful to see all them that are here. Amen. Brother Steve did the worship. And we've just become close friends. Amen. Appreciate him getting to stop by and be with us tonight. Amen. We're just honored to get to be here ourselves. Glad my wife got to come. Amen. We appreciate her. We do. We have a youth conference in March. We'd love to invite you to. It's always the second Friday of March. We had over 2,300 kids there this year. We feed you Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night, and then it's Sunday morning service. Friday night service, Saturday morning service, Saturday night service, Sunday morning service. And we have a wonderful time, a little over 2,300 kids this last year. We feed you, don't charge you anything. All you got to do is get there, pay for your gas to get there and your motel bill. Amen. Brother Greg Bagley has did our days. You're one of your home guys here and has done an outstanding job. Amen. And South loves him. Amen. And we appreciate him, but we'd love to invite you to that meeting. Also, this last year, God blessed us to do something we had never done. And we started a school of ministry. It's just a 9-month program where you get to just hands-on experience for 9 months. For 9 months from September to May, we integrate you in every area of ministry in our church. And so if you're graduating from school and don't know exactly what God wants to do with your life, we will only take up to 10 students. And we've had a little over 30 applicants. And we pray and seek God. We've only accepted 7 of those, so we have 3 spots left that we haven't accepted, 3 of those spots left. That's why we're advertising that to you, because we want the will of God. We don't want kids just to come. We don't try not to get 10. We will take up the 10. But if there ain't but 4 that God wants to be with us, that's all we want. While you're there, you'll go through every work of ministry with us. You will get to complete the School of Christ, which is Brother Clendenin's school. You'll get to complete that school in a 10-day program in Kentucky. You'll get a certificate of graduation of that, plus the manual. Also, while you're with us, you'll get to every day is just 4 or 5 hours of training in the ministry studies. And then we have different things that you have to do during the day ministry-wise. Then also, while you're with us, you'll go on a missions trip. This year we was in Nicaragua with Brother Bobby Bailey, and we got 2 or 3 options for this next year, amen, to have a wonderful time. And so we want to invite you, if you want to be part of that or want to know anything about that, see me or my wife or Brother James, amen, and we'll get you some information about that, amen. It's just a time for you to come for 9 months and get the mind of God and your direction that you're going in. So many, what's happened is these youth camps, youth camp conferences, we shout, dance, and run, leave, and we go home, and there's no ministries in our churches for us to get involved in, and we don't have no direction, so therefore it just dies out in our hearts. Most kids try to build their ministry around their career, but I believe it's the will of God for you to know what your ministry is and then build your career around your ministry. Can you shout amen? And I was talking to Brother Snow. He was telling me from Monday night, his oldest daughter, ever since she was 4 years old, felt like God called her to Africa. Amen. And he was telling me her story and how that since she was 4 years old, she's pursued nothing but that direction. I think that's a wonderful thing. Amen. To know the direction God wants you to go into and pursue it with all of your heart. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. And so we're grateful for that. Also, several asked about our CD. They are in the snack shop. If you go up to get a Coke, they'll have them there. So if you want one of those, we'd love for you to have one of those. And be blessed. Amen. It was made down in Redemption Road. Amen. Good quality. I don't know about our talent, but the quality of it is good. Amen. And we want to bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to have church tonight, aren't you? Well, I got about 15 of you. I said, you're going to have church tonight, aren't you? Amen. All right, let's worship the Lord. Let's see. This might hurt. It's not safe. But I know that I got to make a change. I don't care if I break. Least I'll be feeling something. Just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. Instead of going through the motions, I don't want to go through the motions.
I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I'd given everything instead of going through the motions? I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I'd given everything instead of going through the motions? This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, least I'll be feeling something. Just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of my life. How many is tired of the nothingness of your life? Oh, oh, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I'd given everything instead of going through the motions? No regret, not this time. I'm gonna let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love take control. Oh, I think I'm finally feeling something. Just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of this life instead of going. Can you lift your heart with your hands and say that? I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more time. It's not safe, but I know that I've got to make a change. I don't care if I break, least I'll be feeling something. Just okay, it's not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life instead of going through the motions. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I'd given everything instead of going through the motions? Come on, can you lift your heart with your hand right now? Say, Lord, I don't want to go through the motions. I want to let you have your way in my life. Amen. I don't care if I have to break. I don't care what I have to let happen in my life. I'm ready to let the Lord help me. Praise the Lord. All right, Acts chapter number 13. Let's stretch our hands. Ask God bless these that are come to the altar already, to God to touch them, minister in their life. They're not going to bother me or hinder me from preaching. Amen. And we want the Lord to touch them and bless them and minister to them. Amen. And it won't hinder us from having church tonight. Can you shout amen? So we want the Lord to bless them. Just stretch your hands this way and say, Lord, give them what they're needing, desiring in their lives, and help them tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, all the church said amen and hallelujah. The book of Acts tonight, if the Lord will help us, chapter 13. Acts chapter number 13, Acts chapter number 13, verse number 36, Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6, Acts 13 and verse number 36, then Acts 17 and verse number 6,
Again, I feel the Holy Ghost has spoke this word into my spirit concerning this generation. We have spoken in several meetings in the last few weeks. Last week we preached on these subjects for the 3 nights we were there. And I feel so greatly that the Lord would have us to bring this to you tonight. Amen. And I feel the Holy Ghost to speak to you the word that God has laid into my heart. And I feel such an urgency of this because Jesus is coming again. Amen. And God has called us for such a time as this. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. For David, everybody say it with me, you should learn it by now. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. Amen. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. One more time, let's read out loud together. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, he fell asleep. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. Amen. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, let's cry it out loud together, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Let's read it again. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. One more time. Let's shout it out real loud. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Let's stretch our hands toward heaven, ask God to anoint us tonight. Father God of heaven, in the name of Jesus, we pray your holy anointing be upon us as we preach your gospel. Let your will be performed tonight. Lord, we've realized that there's a few hindrances, Lord, with the weather and the flooding and all that. But Lord, I pray you press our minds to focus on you and your purpose and will tonight for the word of God and for this altar service. And all the young folks shouted amen, amen. And hallelujah. As we have been bringing to you each night concerning the subject of spiritual revolutionists, that it is the destiny and the plan and the will of God, that God has a destiny and a plan and a will for your life. Can you shout amen? God has a scheduled blueprint of what he's called you to be. And that's one of the greatest things that you could find out in your life right now, amen, is the fact, amen, that God has called you to a certain purpose, to a certain, amen, destiny, that you're not here by happen chance. So many feel they're that way. They have just been here by chance. They're just a mistake. Amen. I think that's it, Brother Setzer, right there. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. And we realize that God, amen, has got a divine place for me. He's got a divine place for you in the ministry. Amen. And it's not God's will that he save you and you sit down and do nothing. Amen. Matter of fact, if that's what God has called you to do, then he should just get you on out of here and take you to heaven. You're no good to the kingdom of God. I said this one time in my church. I said, I'm just to the place that when people get saved, I want to ask them, do you just want to survive and make it to heaven? Or do you want to work for the kingdom of God? And if they say they're just here to survive, amen, we just might as well get them out of the misery right now. Get them to heaven. I went to go to the pulpit the next time I was in the service and somebody put me a play pistol in the pulpit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But the fact is, if all you're here to do is survive, we can do that in heaven. Can you shout amen? But God is not got us here. The only things we're going to do over there, amen. Are you listening? The only thing we're going to do over there, amen, is worship and fellowship. We're going to worship God and we're going to fellowship with the saints of God. So guess what? If we can't get along down here, we sure ain't going to get along up there. You know, and I said this, isn't it amazing? Amen. This, if you could care less what Jesus has for your life, what Jesus desires for your life, and you're not in a loving relationship with Him, then why in the world do you want to die and go to heaven? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to take my time here tonight because I'm going to finish this subject that God's laid in my heart if He'll let me. Amen. I want you to understand that. Amen. Jesus, God created us. We live an average of 75 years. The average person lives 75 years, 70, 75 years. Amen. But yet we spend eternity with God if you're saved. So you only spend 75 years here. But eternity with God. So God created you for His pleasure. For His purpose. For a relationship with Him. So God created you with a love. Amen. For His pleasure. His, what He desires for your life. And when it's over, you get to go spend eternity with Him. Worshiping and magnifying Him. But what I don't understand about people. But if you could care less what He wants, what He desires, and you're not in love with Him on this side, then why in the world do you want to go to heaven and spend eternity with somebody you could care less what their agenda was, what their ideas was, and what their plan was for your life? Come on, somebody. Pastors, you know I'm right. That they could care less about God, but just as soon as they get on that deathbed, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. I want to go to heaven. Why in the world would you want to go spend forever with somebody that you don't even know? Oh, it's quiet now. Somebody you never got acquainted with. I mean, it'd be crazy right here tonight if I were to look at some of you and say, hey, you want to go spend eternity with us? You want to go with me and my wife? You want to leave tonight and go home with me and my wife? Amen. We'll move you in, find you a place to live. You just live from now on. You'd be like, who in the world are you? It's the same thing when you go, why would you want to go to heaven and spend eternity with somebody you don't even know? With somebody you could care less about what they wanted or had a relationship with. I'll tell you why you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. You don't like the other option. So when it boils down to it, the only reason why you're going to heaven or want to go to heaven is for your own benefit. Oh, I know this ain't shouting preaching, but we're going to have church tonight. You want to go for your own benefit. It's because you don't want to suffer. But if hell was a party, and hell was a place where you could go do what you were doing here, and just go have a blast, you would break your neck saying, forget Jesus in heaven. I'll go to hell. The only reason why hell is a place you don't want to go to is because it's torments. And the only reason why you want to go to heaven is because you want to escape the wrath of God. It's got nothing to do. So you know what? If God does allow you into heaven, you're going to be bored. In a matter, there's no days or no nights. So I don't know what there is. You're going to be bored in a little bit because you could care less about the throne. You could care less about the Son of God. But for those of us that have fell in love with Jesus, and what He wants means the world to you. What's your heartbeat for me? What's your desire for me? For those of us that are there, that's the reason why we can worship on this side. Because we can't wait to get to where He is. To spend eternity with Jesus Christ. The mansions don't move us. The gates of pearl don't move us. But it's the fact that we're going to be centered around Jesus and worship for eternity. I'm going to spend 75 at an average age here, but I'm going to get to spend forever in the presence of the one whom my soul loves. Every day, what do you want for me? What's your plan for me? What's your desire for me? Because it matters what he wants. It matters what he desires. It matters what his heartbeat is for my life. And so therefore, amen, I can't wait to spend forever with him, because that's, amen, what I've been doing for the last 21 years. Seeking to please him. And to get closer to him. The only thing that's standing between me and him now is this old flesh. I want you to understand something in the Word of God tonight. Used to in youth camps, I would spend 4 nights preaching my heart out, trying to reach people who weren't saved. And begging kids who did not want to repent to come to the altar. Until all of a sudden it hit me one day that Jesus didn't beg nobody to follow him. He simply said, follow me. And they left it all to follow him. And so it dawned on me that why I spend 4 nights begging people who don't want to be saved to get saved. I've got 100 and something that would love to do something for God. And go reach more people who want to do something for the Lord and want to be saved. And so I begin to turn my ministry. Amen. Yes, I love to preach to the lost. But I'm telling you, when I preach to the lost, amen, it's them that are ready to repent. You can't beg people. You can't scare people. Come on, somebody. Because it don't last. Can you shout amen? Amen. I forgot how many prayed the same night you prayed when I preached about the death angel. Several prayed. But a lot of them are not here tonight, but he's still here. Why? He wanted to be saved. And after he got born again, he now desires to please the Lord. And so when you realize that God has a destiny and a plan for your life, you're not just here to go through nothing, amen, and be nothing. But God has destined you for the plan of God and his purpose and his will. I said that to you Monday night. Last night, I dealt with you concerning what God has done with a 26-year-old boy by the name of Muhammad Buiz in December the 17th, 2010, that has sparked the revolution in the Middle East, which they think is a wonderful thing because it's bringing change. 27-year dictatorship stepped down in Tunisia. Amen. 30-year dictatorship in Egypt. Amen. And then the dynasty of Libya about to come down, and Yemen and Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and all of those countries. And God is using all of this to set the stage for the Antichrist to step forward. Amen. No matter how you believe the rapture of the church, the fact is, amen, we are on the verge of some politician rising up with the answer to the chaos of the Middle East. And God used a 26-year-old boy to form all of that. And the Holy Ghost said, if I can do that, then what can I do with young men and young women that will commit their lives to my cause and my plan and my purpose? Whoa, you come to have church tonight. Hallelujah. And so we begin to preach to you last night that there's something to live for. There's something to die for. There's something to fight for. And it's the cause of Jesus Christ. Gerald Baldy, Brother Clendenin often preached and quoted him. Amen. His story. Amen. Gerald Baldy, amen, passed through Italy. He came across some young people
in Florence, Italy, in the middle of the night. Gerald Baldy walked through that city streets, and there were several young people hanging out in the middle of the night, even partying, dancing, and carousing. And Gerald Baldy, one of the great leaders of Italy army, stood up and cried, "Follow me!" And the young people, with beer in their hand, liquor in their hand, and the carousing that was going on, even shouted out, "What is it in it for us?" Hallelujah. Gerald Baldy cried back out to them, amen, "Cold, weary nights, hungry stomachs, and bleeding feet, but a part in the greatest victory your nation has ever known." And when he did, them young people dropped their liquor and dropped their carousing and followed that military commander into war. You want to know why? They were hunting something, a cause to live, a cause to die for, and a cause to fight for. Well, I come to tell you tonight, there's a greater cause that's ever been known to man, and it's the greatest victory of the church. It's the cause of Christ. Somebody lift your hands and give him glory in this house. Amen. You see, it's the will of God, amen, that that cause get in us. Like Jeroboam, like Paul Boise set himself on fire. God wants to set you on fire with a burden for the cause of Christ. As we begin to look at revolutionists even further tonight, amen, different ones, I begin to study. Now listen, don't fall out with me here. I haven't seen this Hollywood movie, but I was in a youth meeting here a while back, amen, and the youth leader had one of his media guys. There was about 3,000 kids there. He had took a clip. His media guy's very good at taking clips of different things and putting, amen, different points in there, amen, and he brought this movie out, and there was about a 5-minute clip that he showed. There's websites now that I found out that they do that, amen, the Christian media. Take a certain clip out of something that means something and use it. Amen. So he did. And so what it did is it struck a curiosity in me to start studying this part of history. Amen. And it's concerning the Spartans. Amen. And the battle that took place on about a 50-foot, amen, wide spot where they held back the Persians. So nobody fall out with me here tonight for bringing this up. Because I can't help that Hollywood took history and made a movie out of it. But it did bring my curiosity to understand the Spartans. And so in the Spartans, in this clip of the movie, they had their King Leonidas, amen, and it was a 5-minute clip, amen, about their war and their fighting, and amen, at the end of it, he had a big sign come across it called, "It's time to take over," amen. I tell you what, amen, I raised my hand and said, amen, hallelujah, it moved me, amen, it stirred me, amen, but this is what I want you to understand. The Spartans had what they called their elite known. Amen. They had a group of 300, the best of the Spartans. They were part of the surrounding of the king. They were the elite of the warriors of the Spartan people. And one of the greatest honors in the world was to be a Spartan. Amen. And to be part of the elite 300. I want you to hear me tonight. Amen. In the Muslim world, in Iran, they've taught their children from little babies to scream death to America. Amen. That is their way of life. Amen. The communists raise their kids from the time they're little. Amen. Some of these foreign countries put guns in their hands and train them to be killers. Is anybody hearing me preach tonight? And I want you to know, in Spartan, they did the same thing. If you were chosen to be part of the elite, it started from childhood. I mean, they would take you in put you, amen, in hard training. From the time you were 7 years old, you were separated from your mother. You were separated from your father. And you were put in a training camp. And you were raised to do nothing but be a killing machine. I mean, you were brainwashed into nothing but the cause. And then you could get married once you graduated, get married. Once you had a male son, then they would let you, amen, be part of the 300 because they wanted to leave your bloodline behind. Amen. So that when you died in battle, there'd be another one of you coming up, amen, in the shadows. But these 300, they would take them oftentimes, somewhere around 11 to 12 years old. They would begin scourging them. And they were part of their training and test. They would tie them to post and beat them boys until they were bloody, amen, backs beating, until the last one standing would win. All for the cause of knowing that I stood. I didn't fall. Are you hearing me, preach tonight? They got no money. They got no special privileges. Amen. Matter of fact, they're going to commit suicide by going into war. But the fact that they were giving honor, it was an honor to die for what they believed in. God, my Lord, help us tonight. Brother Micah was preaching this morning about the word of God, and he got them in the altar, and he said, there are countries where men are dying to see this Bible. Men are dying, amen, trying to bring the word of God to their churches and their homes, and yet we throw it around all over the floor. I come to tell you tonight, if a boy can come to the place that he's willing to die and give everything he's got to train for warfare, to believe in the Spartans, then what can God do with young boys and young girls that arise with a commitment to the cause? Well, I'm not preaching on the Holy Ghost tonight, am I? Amen. So we're not a shouting people, and I'm not preaching on hell to get you in the altar, and so we're not moved, but I come to tell you, when all of that's over, it boils down to the simple fact, you either want to be here or you're not here. And if the cause of Christ is not burning in your bosom and burning in the depths of your spirit, you'll be gone before the month's up. Is anybody hearing me preach here tonight? But I'm here to rally to the young boy and young girl that God has brought here, that says, I'm willing to give everything I am for the cause. Them 300 centered around that king, they would refuse to let him die. At 300 was his bodyguards. Hallelujah. When they went into the war, one of the great war that made them, amen, popular, was their suicide mission. When they stood on a 50-foot pass and held the Persians at bay for about 3 days, amen, to get the other armies ready, amen, to attack. All them 300, amen, stood. Now, history has so much conflict with some of this, amen, but in my studying, amen, there was about 7,000 allies that come to go to war with Leonidas, but Leonidas, amen, said, we don't need you, and so to speak, amen, they said there was more. Some commentaries say there were more than 7,000, amen, but they went to war. But these 300s are popular for being the ones that stood them at bay. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? On that clip of that movie, for 5 minutes, it showed Leonidas. Again, don't fall out with me. Amen. But Leonidas is said, amen. I Googled the movie, amen, myself. I was hoping it was some educational history movie, but it wasn't. It had pornography all throughout it, according to the, amen, family. Focus on on the family agenda, pornography throughout it, and a lot of cussing. So don't you leave here and go rent that movie and watch it. Hallelujah. But I will tell you this, that 5-minute clip, amen, show Leonardo standing there with that 7,000 behind him. And when he did, he was talking to the commander of that army, amen, that was going to join forces with him. And Leonardo looked at him. Amen. That guy looked at him and said, "You mean to tell me, Leonidas, you only brought 300 men to this war? You only brought 300 men to this battle?" Leonidas turned around and looked back at his 7,000 and said, "You, what is your occupation?" And when he did, that soldier said, "Well, I'm a farmer." Hallelujah. He turned and looked at another and said, "You, what is your occupation?" He said, "I'm a blacksmith." "You, what's your occupation?" "I'm a cattle farmer." "You." And he spoke to about four of them. Then he turned around and looked at his 300 and said, "Spartans, what is your occupation?" And with their weapons raised, they let out a wild cry. Wild. Amen. When they did, Leonidas turned around and looked at that commander and said, "I believe I brought more soldiers than you did today." Hallelujah. Man, that got a hold of me. Are you understanding what Leonidas was saying? Is you part farmer and part soldier. You're part blacksmith and part soldier. But I can't go to war with men who's half and half. I need some soldiers that know nothing but war. Hallelujah. Wow, are you here to help me tonight? I come to tell you, hallelujah, what's your occupation? The cause of Christ. What's your direction? The purpose of lost soul. Why are you here? Hallelujah. Well, you may be a teacher at a high school. Yes, sir. But your greatest cause is the cause of the gospel. The cause of souls being saved. Is anybody here to have church with me here tonight? Is there any spiritual Spartans in the house? One of the Spartans, amen, they said to them in history, said, "Don't you know that the Persians are so numerous that their arrows will blot out the sun?" Them Persians got so many bow and arrow fighters, when they shoot them, they are told that the sun goes black because it blacks the sun out. Them Spartan warriors, one of them spoke up and said, "Well, it looks like we'll go to war in the shade today." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, that doesn't move me because I believe in what I'm fighting for. I believe in what I'm here for. I come to tell you, if you ain't saved here tonight, tonight's the best night for you to get saved. I know I'm not preaching on hell, but I'm telling you, if you are here tonight and you're ready to get saved, honey, I won't have to try to scare you into getting saved. You'll drop your beer, your liquor, your party, your carousing, and you'll say, "Yes, sir, sign me up tonight. I don't want to live for nothing anymore. I'm ready to give my life for something that means something." Hey, some of you boys so angry, some of you girls so mad, and you don't know what you're mad for, what you're angry for. I come to tell you what you can get angry about and not be sinning. Get angry at the devil. Get angry at sin. Get angry at religiosity. Get angry at common Pentecost and say, "You know what? I'm going to start a revival. I'm going to start a revolution. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost help me start a revolution." Another one of them soldiers, he had to return back to get something for the military. He took too long. When he got back, the war was over. He hung himself. He said, "There ain't nobody going to say I took time, so I didn't have to fight." He wanted to die with his military. Another one of them got his ass gouged out by an accident right before the war. Hallelujah. He looked around and got him a lad as they were marching there and said, "You lead me into battle." And he fought blind, but he trained him. He had trained his entire life for this war, for this cause. And I might be blind, but I'm going into war anyway. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, I got some of the little boys' attention now. Hallelujah. Some of them's ready to go karate chopping right now. Some of them ready to get out of here right now. Hallelujah. Come on, are you hearing me? You ever seen a little kid watch something? Amen. If it's racing, or my little boy, amen, his grandma had a little Disney thing called the Three Ninjas. Amen. It's a real clean little thing. When he gets through, he's jumping off the couch doing karate chops. Hallelujah. You don't know why? It's in the heart of that male. Hallelujah. Amen. To be a fighter and a warrior. But the thing is, we fought the wrong stuff. We warred against the wrong stuff. You've turned your fight against God and against the power of the Holy Ghost and against sanctification. Hallelujah. And you've turned your soft side to that world and you've gave in. But God's looking for some young boys and some young girls tonight that I stand up. Amen. And shout to the devil, I'm not going to conform, but I'm going to be a transformer. Hallelujah to Jesus. Wow, somebody have church with me. I said, somebody have church with me. Who am I talking to tonight? Who did God send me to Ohio to preach to? What young boys in this house that God sent me? What young girls here? Hallelujah, they're saying, that's me. I'm ready to give my life for it. I'm ready to sell everything I have for the cause of the ministry in Christ. Two scrawny disciples come staggering into the city of Thessalonica. They were warriors with a cause. Their ability was not in their hands, in their feet, in their stature, but it was in the cause that they were fighting for. Hallelujah to Jesus. Josh Hamby come and did our graduation for the School of Ministry. Our School of Ministry students went through the School of Christ with Josh Hamby up in Kentucky. And so they love him. Josh Hamby come to preach our graduation the other day, last or June the 3rd. Josh Hamby got up and started talking about in India, God moved on him to go to a certain city in India, wherever he was, on a train, and he rode 26 hours on a bench. I'm not talking about a 50-year-old man. Josh is in his 30s, early 30s, if not his late 20s. Amen. Josh said he sat on that bench. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said you couldn't stand up. If you did, you'd lose your spot. He said if you got up to go to the bathroom, you'd lose your spot, and you'd have to stand up on that train 26 hours. Josh said, I sat there. Hello. Brother Setch, I complained and said, the next time I go to Africa, I'll work. Get me an extra $1,000. Get me first class before I go back. You try to put a big man like me in a set seat like this for 24 hours, I lost my mind by the time I got to Africa. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to my bed, laid down, and cried for 2 hours. I wanted my wife so bad, my babies. Hallelujah. Amen. I was like this 24 hours. I said, oh, not no more. Put me in first class. Hallelujah. I'd go to Africa every month if they'd fly me first class. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Josh Hamby got there, talked about sitting on a bench for 26 hours. I just sat over there and started repenting. I said, Lord, here I'm complaining about sitting in a plane for 24 hours in a cushioned seat. Amen. He's rode 26 hours on a bench. He said, I wouldn't even get up to go to the bathroom. He said, later on through the night, a woman laid over, her child laid over on me and fell asleep, and I had to hold her child. He said, when I got to where I was at, he said, I stood up. When they arrived me to that city, he said, I stood up. I couldn't move. I'd become so numb. He said, and I barely made it out of that train. He said, when I got outside the train, I stood up to hold on. He said, blood was puddling down at my feet.
He said, I thought, what is wrong with me? He said, I got to the bathroom and got my britches where I could see my legs, and my legs had swollen until they busted. Hallelujah to Jesus. Here's a young man who's gave his life for the cause of Christ. Blood running down his legs. He said, I got the scars to prove it. He said, they took me straight to the service and I got up and preached to 1,000 people. He said, I gave an altar call and not one soul came and prayed. Not one. But all of a sudden, he said, I said, Lord, the Holy Ghost movement said, call for anybody called to ministry. He said, only one man stood up, one young boy stood up, a farmer with a child in his hands. He come up and stood up front out of 1,000 people. And tears were streaming. And Josh said, he said, I feel God's called me to the ministry. Josh said, I got through preaching that day, arrived that day, 26 hours that day, turned around, preached, left that evening, got back on that train and rode 26 hours back. He said, I denied myself. He said, the devil fought me. He said, you missed God. You should have never went. Not a soul got saved. Only one farmer felt the call to ministry. He said, I felt like a failure. Hallelujah. He said, a couple of weeks later, Josh called. Josh got a phone call or email one. And in that email, hallelujah to Jesus, Josh said, they said, you will not believe this, but that farmer that got called to the ministry, he's preaching up a storm from village to village, and they're getting saved village after village. He's preaching to thousands now. Hallelujah. Wow, are you hearing me? Josh is a modern day spiritual revolutionist. Hallelujah. Not caring about his own physical condition. Anybody having church with me? I'm talking about what young boys here tonight. I mean, I don't want to tell all these stories and not get to what I got to tell you, but you got to hear what I got to say here tonight. Hallelujah. I remember Brother Clinton when he had his school in Jordan. Amen. And a student had come out of Iraq. That was before Iraq fell. And Saddam Hussein was taken down, and one of the boys come to the school of Jordan was from Iraq. He risked his entire life to come to the school of Christ. Hallelujah. And Brother Clendenin said he left that school full of the life of God. Hallelujah. Went down back into Iraq. He hadn't heard from him in over 7 years, if I get it right. Brother Clendenin told me, hallelujah, if I can remember exactly what he said, I wish I had recorded it. Amen. When he told me 7 years he hadn't heard, but all of a sudden, after the fall of Iraq, amen, and the freedom came in there, amen, he contacted Brother Clinton and said, Brother Clinton, I know it's been so many years since you heard from me, but I want you to know, hallelujah, that I've not failed you or God. He said, I've been having church in underground. Amen. I think it was 8 to 10 churches with over 100 souls in each of them that young boy had birthed through the life of God. Oh, you hear, there's something worth living for. There's something worth fighting for. There's something worth dying for. There's something worth giving your life for. I was in Orlando when they picked me up from the airport, and they picked him up. He always liked, when they pick him up, he always liked for them to take him by, amen, Longhorns, and get that ribeye with a bone in it. Hallelujah. And so that was a tradition. When they picked him up, we did a conference together. And Brother Clinton, hallelujah, we stayed in the same house. I was part of the ministry of that meeting. I sung and preached in it. Brother Clinton looked at me. He said, my God, son, I just left. He flew in from Iraq. He just landed. He said, I've had over 200 boys under the age of 35 laying all over the floor. Some of them in my lap begging me for Pentecost. Hallelujah. We want Pentecost. We want the baptism. We want Pentecost to come to our country.
country. Is anybody hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, there's more to this Holy Ghost than making you do this and making you stomp your foot and making you talk in a tongue. It'll come and light a fire in you that'll burn in the middle of the night, that'll burn in the middle of the day when all of your other friends are going to the mall and going to have a get together. The Holy Ghost said, not today, bud. Me and you got to spend a little time together. Me and you got who am I here talking to tonight? The Holy Ghost is calling you.
I gotta hurry. I got so much ground to cover. How many's ever been snorkeling in your life? Come on, how many's been snorkeling? Don't be ashamed, it ain't a sin. It ain't worldly. Hallelujah. How many's ever been scuba diving? Man, you lucky. I'd love to go scuba diving. But how many know snorkeling people can't do what scuba divers can do? I'm snorkeling along in this big fish thing they got down home. Big old fish in there, this big. I chase them. I love it. Pay $14, get goggles and snorkels and fins. And when I get to go, I love it. But I'm telling you, them that's in that scuba gear, they go in and go down in the depths of the caves. And when they come out, I like to sit there and listen to what they saw. The beauty of the caverns. Hallelujah. I mean, is there any young people here tonight say, I've been scuba diving long and I've been snorkeling long enough. I'm ready for you to put me through some scuba school. I'm ready to go deeper in God. I'm ready to go deeper than I've ever been. I'm ready to get the air tank on me. I'm ready to lose sight of this world for a while and go down in the depths of the Holy Ghost. And is there any young girls here tonight that say, I've been snorkeling in the Holy Ghost long enough? Is there any young boy say, I've been snorkeling in the Holy Ghost long enough? I'm ready to put my scuba gear on. I'm ready to go to the depths of the power and the presence of God. I'm ready to start a spiritual revolution in my house, in my home, in my church. Are you listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. When you begin to look at revolutions like American Revolution, if you're going to have a revolution, you're going to have to separate yourself. Can you shout amen? Somebody have church with me tonight. I said, you're going to have to separate. When it cost us something, the American women, when they cut Great Britain off, they had to make their own garments, their own clothes. Hallelujah. 50,000 of garments, and the American women, they were fighting for freedom for America. And the women, it cost the women and the children when their men stood up and said, we're going to fight for a free America. How many thank God for the American Revolution? How many thank God that we're free tonight? How many glad we're not having to bow down to the queen and bow down to the king? Hallelujah. How many glad we're not having to bow down to Great Britain tonight? That would have never happened except there were some young men and young women that believed in the freedom of this nation. Amen. And they said, you know what are we going to do? We're going to cut Great Britain off. We don't want their money. We don't want their food. We don't want their clothing. Come on, somebody. Dear God, there's preaching right here. Hallelujah. And the women had to sew with their own hands and make garments with their own hands and make cloth with their own hands. And they had to be their own nurses and everything for that war. But thank God they did. And we're here tonight because of it. I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're going to start a revolution, you got to cut ties with the world. Cut ties with the spirit of the world. You got to tell them, I don't want your resources. I don't want your food. I don't want your entertainment. I don't want your clothes. I don't want your fashion. I'm going to be a woman of God. I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to let the Lord fill me with the Holy Ghost. When Sir Patrick Henry, anybody going to stay with me if I preach a little while tonight? Hallelujah. Sir Patrick Henry was part of the revolution.
And he stood up and said these words, "The battle, sir, is not to the strong. And it's to the vigilant. It's to the active and the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, then there's no way we can retract from it now." Sir Patrick Henry said, "If we want freedom," and he's speaking to the American people, "and you had enough of desire to want it, then get off of your seat and go to war with us. I'm boring you tonight. Hallelujah. Well, I come to tell you what God told me to tell you, and that's all that matters to me right now. Hallelujah. I want you to understand me tonight. If I'm not here for like Josh Hamby, but for one, then it's going to be worth the fight to get here to preach what I got to preach to you. But I come to tell you, I'm not here just for one. Hallelujah. Sir Patrick Henry said, "The war is inevitable. The only choice we've got is fight or go back to slavery." He said, "The chains have already been forged, and they're at the harbor of Boston waiting on us. If we don't fight, Great Britain's going to put us in chains and take us back to Great Britain. We won't even get to live in this nation." Hallelujah. If we don't live, we don't fight now, and we let them win, they're going to overtake us, and they're going to make this 13 colonies a slave camp. I come to tell somebody here tonight, Sir Patrick Henry said, "The war is inevitable." He said, "Let it come, sirs. Let it come." In other words, if I'm the only one going to fight for it, I'm going to fight for it. And Sir Patrick Henry rallied the 13 colonies to rise and fight. And fight they did. Well, I'm here at Southern Ohio Youth Camp to tell you, religion's got chains waiting on us. That old religious system has got chains forged. We're either going to go to war, or we're going to be slaves to religion. We're going to be slaves to common Pentecost. Anybody here to have church with me? But I didn't get saved to be bound. I got saved to be free. I got saved to have a freedom in the Holy Ghost. And it's either go to war or go back to dead church. Go to war or go back to church as usual. Go to war or have revival or go back to slavery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can either go to war or religion's going to bind you down another year. You're going to sing the same songs on Sunday, going to pray the same prayer, and come back here in the same condition you were in last this year. Or either you're going to rise up and say, "I'm going to war. I'm not going to let them handcuff me. Hallelujah. I'm ready for a revolution. Hallelujah. I'm ready to start." Are anybody hearing me preach tonight? One of the revolutionists said this. Everybody shout, "The dead hath been awakened. Shall I sleep? No, sir." Hallelujah. He turned around and said, "Amen. The harvest is ripe. Shall I pause to reap it? The world is at war with tyrants. Shall I crouch down?" Hallelujah. And this one I love. He said, "There is a thorn in my couch. Shall I slumber? Not." Hallelujah. Because every time I go to lay down, there's a thorn in my couch. Every time, they better get all that phones and stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time they go to sit, ouch. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Is there anybody lately, every time you just go to sit down spiritually, something pokes you and you get them and say, "I don't know why I'm so stinking miserable. I don't know why I ain't happy." Amen. We had one get saved four Sundays ago. Ain't that enough? Well, we had a little rain of the Holy Ghost 3 weeks ago. Ain't that enough? But when I said, "Oh, no, no, what is wrong with me? There's a thorn in my couch." Hallelujah to Jesus. Who am I talking to tonight? Is there anybody else had a thorn in your couch lately? Is there anybody lately spiritually that ain't been able to sleep, that ain't able to be comfortable, that ain't happy with three songs, a testimony service, a sermon, and go to the house? Who else in this house has a thorn in your couch? Hallelujah. Physically this year, the doctors have told me I've got an enlarged chamber in my heart. If I lost 100 pounds tomorrow, it ain't going to make no difference. Because the lower part of my heart is enlarged. The blood's having trouble flowing through it. They want to put me on Coumadin. I'm 36 years old. My blood pressure's high. And I'm doing my best to lose weight to change it. Amen. Physically, I went in the shape too. My church is over doubled in a year. Amen. In the last year or two, we're growing leaps and bounds, and I'm proud of that. Amen. So this year, I said I will not take but four meetings. Hallelujah. Amen. But when they call, amen, I ended up, I said, well, I took seven. I'll go ahead and just take seven. Before I ended up with nine, and I wasn't going to do none but four. You don't know why? Hallelujah. My church is growing. I need to be home. But I'll tell you what's wrong with me. Every time I said I'm just going to sit down, the church is doing good. There's a thorn in my couch. Hallelujah. I said there's a thorn in my couch. Hallelujah. And you know what? If I'm going to die, I'd rather die doing what I'm doing right now and preaching my heart out for something I believe in than to sit down on a stinking couch and dry up and die. Hallelujah. Hey, I've heard them say, don't preach yourself to death. Don't pastor yourself to death. Well, I come to ask you, what other way to die than to die for the cause of the preaching of the gospel and the souls of humanity? My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Is there anybody got a thorn in your couch? This hero, this commander in chief, hallelujah, hallelujah, has to fight to get here. Amen. But he's sitting right here. Amen. If it was up to him, he'd be running around here with us. Hallelujah. But physically, he's not able. But he's still here. When I know a lot of them would have still be at the house. Hallelujah. Would have retired and called it quits. But you know why he's here? I'll tell you why he's here. There's a thorn in his couch. Hallelujah. And there's a trumpet in my ear. Hallelujah. Wow! There's a thorn. Anybody in this house say, Brother Greg, that's what's been wrong with me. I haven't been able to figure it out in months, but there's a thorn in my couch. There's a trumpet in my ear. God is calling me. I mean, lift your hands right now and say, I've been praying for God to take the thorn, but keep the thorn. How many of you young people right now lift your hands and say, the cause, shout it out well with me, the cause is greater than the risk. If you're going to be a spiritual revolutionist, the cause has got to be greater than what you let go of, greater than the risk. Everybody shout, give me liberty or give me death. That was the cry of the American Revolution. Give me liberty or give me death. Is there any young people here tonight who's got a cry in the depths of your spirit? Give me souls or give me death. Give me revival or give me death. Give me a revolution or give me death. Is there any mamas in this house that a cry, give me revival or give me death? Is there any youth leaders? Are there any pastors in this house that are should say, give me souls, give me revival, or give me death. Give me ministry. Come, Jess, I'm finished. I ain't through with this. I'll have to finish it tomorrow night. I thought I was going to change up. Amen. You don't want to miss tomorrow night. I'll finish it tomorrow night. Join with another part. But right here, right now, there's a thorn in my couch. There's a trumpet in my ear. Give me revival. Give me death. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give you some sad, sappy story to get you in this altar. If God's calling you, I want you to shout right now, I will not conform, but I will transform. I'm not a conformer, I'm a transformer. Come here, Nate. Did you? I got it right. He spelled it for me today. Jump up here. I said, preach to him. He said, now? I want you to shout and preach to him as radically as you can. We're not conformers. We're transformers.
We're not conformers. We're transformers.
Tell him.
We're not conformers. We're transformers.
Come on, preach it.
We're not conformers. We're transformers.
Say it again, Nate.
We're not conformers. We're transformers.
Is there any voice in this house that'll shout, I'm not a conformer, I'm a transformer. I'm not going to conform to my school. I'm not going to conform to my home life. I'm not going to conform to my regular church. I want a revival. Oh, I was going to get her. You keep me turned up, brother. Hallelujah. I was going to get a young girl to preach to us too. Hallelujah. I will not apologize for what I'm preaching, but I will tell you, this is what God burned in my spirit. He didn't send me here to make you shout or dance. He sent me here to challenge you this week. This is it. We're the plan of God. We're the plan of God. Keep me turned up. Nobody left in them. Get in this altar and help us. Hallelujah. Come on, strip the seats. I don't care where you came from. Hallelujah, Brother Steve, you're welcome. Come join me on the platform. I know they won't care. And help us sing. Hallelujah. Come on, all over this house. Hallelujah, all over this house. Strip your seats. Strip your seats. You say it's too crowded. Well, we used to have 400 here and it wasn't too crowded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, move, 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 move. You trying to have an altar call with 2,300. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, strip this and pray. Oh, let the sons and the daughters.
I'm surrendering.
She's got to have more monitor. Hallelujah. Oh, give me revival or give me death.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Death.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
warriors. I need Holy Ghost prayer warriors. Oh, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready for revolution.
I surrender to the King.
Oh, let the worshipers arise.
Worshipers arise.
Come on, young people.